Good evening. Good evening, everyone. It is 7 o'clock. It's Wednesday night. And apparently we're experimenting with the various shades of chaos in order to get ourselves going here. And apparently we are going. And it looks like it. So this is, we're working our way through Secret Talks Volume 5 by E.J. Gold, entitled Work of Groups. And we've made it through Chapter 62.
No.
We actually did the first page of 62.
Okay.
We did the first page, but when I looked at the second page, it was too much for the amount of time we had.
Good.
And since this is a class about groups, what we do is each week our scribe culls out those elements that might be the characteristics of a group, enters it into the notebook, and we usually start the class by a reading of those notes. And Pat, would you like to take us through that?
Yes, and I'm assuming you had someone else do this last week.
Yes, we did.
All right. I have to watch the show. Wednesday, November 8, 2017, Work of Groups, number 34, 1. Elements of a group. 1. Just as a runner warms up, intentionality is a warm-up exercise coming to the group. That's a payment. It's called intentional affirmation of the exercise of the presence of the presence. Into the present. 2. There are elements of protocols we've agreed to. A. There's a respect, an observance of the quality of the atmosphere of the room, the space of the activity. And we bring respect for one another. B, we don't interrupt people. We actually pay attention to what they're saying. We don't criticize. We don't argue. And we know when to quit speaking. C, we have a sense as a group on how to not go off on an intellectual tangent and purely intellectual discussions. This group. What?
You just coughed.
Okay. In this group, we actually have a sense of purpose. The inquiry has to do with the presence and the awakening of the machine. Let the group organism take us where it does, letting it unfold. E, there's a vanishing first in the group space. We shed our road dust. F, the group meeting space is an encapsulated space. Separate from the social space. 3. People are paying attention and we can sense they're engaged. The entire group is engaged and we can feel they're contributing in terms of their presence. 4. A willingness to bring one's attention and presence regardless of time of day is demonstrated. 5. A group, not necessarily social, is participating in a common purpose and to develop a special skill. 6. Unique to this group is that we're working with sensing as much or more than talking. and with presence and self-observation. 7, we use numerous kinds of attention not ordinarily used, split attention, sensing, continuity of attention, pulling together, collecting your attention, and collecting strong impressions from previous moments, which can be shared. 8, we pull together intention and our attention. We pull together intention and our attention. 9, part of our job is to reflect because we're an alive, active group. 10, developing the thread of continuity is assisted by the group.
The thread of continuity is assisted by the group. Harry, are you there?
I am.
As I was listening to Pat read, you have an active group that you meet with on Tuesday nights, is that correct?
It's now Sunday night for the last 2 years.
Sunday nights, okay. And there's 7 or 8 individuals that show up fairly consistently.
7 is a rule, sometimes a fewer. We had a new guest last Sunday.
When you hear these elements of groupness that Pat and Ivan have read, does it apply to your group? I mean, do you see that?
Yes, I do, and I feel perfectly at liberty to pirate good comments that are made in this class and share them with our group.
You pirate.
That was a group element that we forgot to write down.
Can you say it? Pirate good comments that help eliminate the fact that we're all becoming aware of the groupness, the energy that we invoke and that we generate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe place in which to share things that you're working on and challenges that we are facing.
Very important point.
It transforms them.
It's a safe space. And
correct.
So there's a safeness in the commonality of purpose that I think we demonstrate when we all come together here for this brief period of time. Okay? I just wanted to acknowledge his group and the work that they're doing.
Yes, and I'm hopeful that if there's some of these points, which I'm sure at some point we're going to get this, notes. If there are some points that don't seem clear as I'm reading them, if somebody wants to say, you know, could you read that again? I noted for myself, since I wasn't here last week and I haven't watched the archive, that it made sense to me, but I would have more questions, but it wouldn't be fair. I would have to go back and watch the context first before I brought my questions. But for any of these that we have attended and we're sitting here listening to this summary of the content, I think, you know, we've been relying on Marvette's supreme skill and facility at synthesizing and clearly indicating what occurred. But some other things might occur to us which could be either included or just, you know, commented on. And I'm making sure the group knows it's not just the 3 of us who sit up here now that
That's
add
right.
into the content. It's all of us. Wonderful. I am so happy to hear that.
Marvette said that some of the points were added by people in the chat.
Thank you.
So
that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. So this is an experimental group. We're gathering data on groupness in this particular session of this Wednesday night class, and we're doing the experiment of it, and in a sense, Marvette is our scribe, notating down the elements of that experimentation. Okay?
Yeah, lab notes.
She's taking the lab notes, you know, and so on and so forth. But let's go ahead and get into these chapters that we're working with now. Last week we started on this chapter 62, and we read the first page of it. But then on page 154, it starts this whole description of an exercise that they did. And it was too daunting to get into it at the time. So we went into kind of an idle. But I think it's worth reading, and then we're going to jump to something in practical work on self. So do you want to just read through that since I can't see? The two of you, or either one of you, or both of you?
And when you start, okay. Yeah.
At the top of page 154. My own dear mother is already free, and through her I may be able to help, but we must make contact.
He gave us photographs of
his mother and instructed us. Each day, for half hour, you practice what I tell you now. First, look very well at picture until even with your eyes shut, you are able to see exactly the form and visage of my mother.
Then, side by side, arrange two chairs. Picture my mother on the right and your own loved one on the left.
Place a third chair before them, and sitting in this third chair, maintain concentrated attention on the wish that they may meet and that your loved one may receive help.
Even though it is a very hard exercise, still it is possible if you have a great wish to help.
After we had done this exercise every day for a month, a serious change began to take place. We were aware that there were definite presences in the chamber during the seance, which in the real sense of the word simply means to quietly sit.
These presences, which were in the beginning only ephemeral forms, after a while took the definite forms of those we were trying to help, NG's mother.
Okay, so let's pause there and go ahead and turn the page and read the next chapter.
Chapter 63. Remorse. I, very lucky to find extraordinary group like you, since we begin not one day must I work for my living.
That's it.
You not know how to use me. So I give you very many ready-made cliche doctrine
for a long time now. I am able to be like Grand Pierre, set out to pasture like old bull.
Too late, you find what I am good for someday. Then, too much, you feel remorse.
So one, read that again, Ivan, one day.
Too late, you find what I am good for someday. Then, too much, you feel remorse.
Okay, so now we're going to jump to Practical Work on Self, chapter 14. And we're going to go ahead, hang on one quick second. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and read maybe the whole thing.
Remorse of Caution.
Practical Work on Self, chapter 14. If you got your book around, just pull it out. Chapter 14, go ahead.
Remorse of Conscience. Beaten conscience is in ordinary man atrophied from disuse and isolation. Remorse of conscience can repair our past no matter what we may have done.
The organ conscience is in the ordinary human biological machine completely atrophied as a result of the disuse and isolation caused by the inactive state of the emotional centrum.
Okay? Important.
This isolation is broken from time to time, either accidentally from some shock or intentionally by an artificial technique which is called remorse of conscience.
When the machine's mother dies, it feels, perhaps for the very first time ever, although the source of attention may not be aware of it, the automatic arising of the emotion called remorse of conscience.
We feel this in the machine because, although in many ways we may have been a good child, at the same time, also in many ways, we must inevitably have failed in our obligation to her for giving the machine life and preparing us in her own unique or not so unique way for responsible age.
This debt is so great that we could not possibly repay it, no matter what, especially in her opinion. This debt to our mother is what can be called original sin, not some imaginary fall from some imaginary state of grace. But the machine is a swine of the first degree and soon forgets this momentary discomfort, and in a few weeks is able to sink back into the usual mechanical oblivion.
We can use these first stirrings of conscience activated by the mood of remorse for past wrongdoings and injustices on our part to provide us with the motivation to conserve our precious time and energy for our work to awaken the machine.
We can use this emotional state to help us remember to spend our inner force and subjective time not just for self-satisfaction, but for work, which alone can give our life in the machine any real meaning.
To activate these deep, essential feelings of remorse in the machine, we should act toward, speak, and respond to everyone we know and meet as if to our own dear mother.
Soon, not only will we respond very differently to everyone, more responsibly, but we can also, in this way, repay our debt to her.
We're getting there. This is good.
Whether or not she is presently in this world, we can use the sensations of remorse to repair the past in relation to her, and by doing so, begin to make a bridge to our past in preparation for the awakening of the machine before we ever heard these ideas, which we can do only because the creation contains all events and the past still exists.
If we have also activated the higher emotional centrum, it is possible to use this same exercise on a higher scale, to give our mother or our grandmother the means to become a saint, if she had already developed in herself some feelings of objective conscience, but did not have sufficient time in the life of the machine to fully develop this higher impulse.
So I'm obviously blending a lot together here. From work of groups, it seems like that was the seed that wound up becoming this beautiful chapter in practical work on self. And as I look around the room here, I notice some of the people here had mothers. Actually had mothers and did pretty much, yeah. Of the people that are here, is there anybody online, just 5 people? 7 people. Is your mother, let's see, first of all, is your mother still alive? Yeses. No. Marvette?
No.
Huh?
Yep.
Yes, she gets your point. Yep. Mother's
yep.
alive?
Yep.
No.
No?
I don't know.
Right.
Okay. And how about anybody online? Is your mother...
David, I'm flying to Washington, D.C. tomorrow to see my mother, so she's 87.
87. Harry?
In 5 days, my mother will have passed away 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Three no's.
What was my question?
Is your mother presently alive?
And so there's a bunch of no's. Okay. How's your mother doing? Those of you that are alive, just in real quickly, how's your mom doing?
Low and slow.
Low and slow. Don't know. She's fine.
My mother is active and energetic and feels like she's 40.
Feels like she's 40. Yeah. Just quickly go around the room here. Were you a pretty good child? Doesn't he talk about that in this book?
As a child, yes, I was a pretty good child. As a child. I want you to get to this.
There's a backstory there, okay? So, Ivan, were you a good child?
Were you a good boy, Ivan?
Were you a good boy, Ivan?
I would say the same thing as a child, yeah. I mean, up to a certain age, sure. I was well-behaved, anyway.
I had a Davy Crockett hat and Davy Crockett swimming shorts.
Whoa!
So I was a pretty good child.
Whoa!
Marvette, were you a good child? Under the age of 11, she was a good child. Got a lot of renegades. Are you a good child? She used to be, Paula is saying. Not anymore. Dan, when you were... She was a good child. Dan, when you were a baby, a boy, a young boy, when you were like 7 or 8, can we picture him?
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Did you have a little toy gun? Yep.
Pretty much.
Good behavior.
It's all that counts.
Yeah.
Do they approve of you?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much where it goes.
Could you move on, please, from this point?
What have we proven so far?
That you had mothers, when you reflect back on that, as I asked the question and it came to you, what came up? What was that sensation?
Muscle Spark says, pretty good child, possibly only in my opinion.
Okay. A little bit of honesty.
Nice.
So,
Mark Roche says, I once brought in a dead squirrel to my mom and asked her if she could make me a Davy Crockett hat. She freaked out.
Mine was store-bought. So when you thought of your mother, what happened? What went on in you? As you look at yourself back right now and you think of your mother when you were like 8 or 7 or 13 or 3, and now you're thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something that's going on.
But she's looking after us. She's taking care of us. She's doing all the stuff. You know, she's being the mom.
Do you have this sense, this remorse that we're being pointed to in these volumes? Can you sense that?
Not from the child.
Ah.
That's why this last sentence here. Where was it?
No, it was here.
Oh, it was in the other book. Yeah, okay, thank you. It's this statement here that says, whether or not she is presently in this world, we can use the sensations of remorse to repair the past in relation to her, and by doing so, begin to make a bridge to our past in preparation for the awakening of the machine before we ever heard these ideas. So I was kind of stuck in there because that before we ever heard these ideas, I've tracked that a lot of my lifetime. So it has to be really, 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 really early to not have these ideas moving around. So this sensation of remorse, the sensation of remorse is, I have to separate it from the experience of being the child.
And that's okay.
I just kind of get hung up in there.
Yeah, and I think that we have too many emotions around that to be simple about it.
Okay.
But there's this, the other concept behind it is that our mothers gave us life.
Right. And maintained it. Maintained it.
They washed our little behinds and they gave us milk and gruel and hamburgers.
kept a place where we grew.
They allowed the space to be there. And so how does this remorse of conscience work in this regard then?
Phone. Wait, you have to have a phone.
I'm not sure if I actually understand what the remorse is referring in specifically with the mom and all that.
Let me say, here, I have one response to that, which is that this, going over this, this formulation of EJ's, what the emotion, you know, the response that I'm having is, this is reminding me that I never could thank my mother enough. I never did thank her. Mm-hmm. I never thanked my mother for being so actually nurturing, for being so compassionate and like unconditionally supportive through, and I'm not talking about when I was 21 or 17, I'm talking about when I was 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 9, 10 years old. I mean, this was like, what a gift. I mean, you know, what a tremendous benefit I got from my upbringing. That's all, yeah.
Whoops.
Did you turn yours off?
And is that with the mom related with the machine in your relation with the machine, or is it?
It's actually above the machine. It's if you can see the gift of life directly, that this was given to you by your mother, it's like you can, what a debt I owe. What a debt I owe. If you never consider that, it stays like in the realm of original sin, the low.
Yeah.
If we don't pay back, if we don't utilize this gift that we're given, then what?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things here. I think you have to just kind of take it from where you can get it. Mm-hmm. I've spent the last couple of months relishing, I mean, to the very core of my bones and all of my cells, the fact that my mother gave two gifts to each of us kids that have lasted our entire lives, and they were intentional on her part. They were not the automatic maternal thing. One of them was yoga and the other one was music. So I can say from this frame of reference that I have currently, looking at the lifetime and also looking at her situation now, where she's at in her life now, these are extremely useful tools for me to have to work this lifetime with. I haven't yet got to the thing of being able to maintain an ongoing appreciation, let alone gratitude, for the initial gift, which was life. I can get that at times.
You can get that.
On occasion.
Yeah.
But this other one is like, it's always with me now. I don't forget that the music and the yoga have been in my life my whole life. They have been like breathing. So that's an awareness that I now currently maintain deliberately. And I remind myself about it, and I've shared it with my brothers because they got the same thing. And that's an acknowledgement to me that there's a possibility that I could use that as my stepping stone to the one about, hey, you know, come on. You got that first breath thing there with the form. Come on, who's responsible for that? So I haven't yet grasped that one, but I have a way I think I can get there.
So with my mother, a lot of when I was growing up and I got older, teenager and things like
mm-hmm.
that, and even later in life, even in, as I was a man, most of the relationship with her became what she wasn't doing for me
mm-hmm.
and how her behavior bothered me
mm-hmm.
and her ethic upset me
mm-hmm.
and her blah, 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 blah.
Right.
However, when I just, that's the machine, when I slightly shift that,
mm-hmm.
I'll never forget listening to the constant stream of original recordings of Rachmaninoff
mm-hmm.
playing Piano Concerto Number mm-hmm. 2, Tchaikovsky's Tatlatik.
Mm-hmm.
She was a poet. My mother was an actual poet and an actual terrific artist, introducing us to a constant stream of high culture,
mm-hmm.
very high culture. When she was much older, prior to the summer before she died, I went down to visit her in Southern California, and I read to her. I read her fairy tales. I just said, read her fairy tales, because
mm-hmm.
it was in that in-between space that I want to get into the head,
mm-hmm.
and I could tell it washed over her.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that I've never acknowledged her for those gifts, and she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I never acknowledged her for the gift of philosophy, or the gift of literature,
mm-hmm.
of poetry. I was surrounded with that.
Right. It was your environment.
My environment was packed full of museums, high art, high literature, high music. But during her lifetime and my relationship with her, rarely did I acknowledge her for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we get to the last paragraph here, Pat, where it has to do with, she's gone now.
If we have also activated the higher emotional centrum, it is possible to use this same exercise on a higher scale to give our mother or our grandmother the means to become a saint. If she had already developed in herself some feelings of objective conscience, but did not have sufficient time in the life of the machine to fully develop this higher impulse.
Let's parse that paragraph, okay?
Start at the end.
Did your mother have that conscience, objective conscience?
Feelings of objective conscience. some feelings of objective consciousness?
I would say yes. Without hesitation, I say yes.
I'm going to say yes. I can't confirm that, but I just had another thought about this whole thing,
sure.
Which is he's extending it to mother or grandmother. And that, I can definitely confirm that. So that worked for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yes, the question is, can you say that your mother or grandmother had some feelings of objective conscience?
Conscience. Anybody? Dan. We've worked on that here in this group. We have a sense of what that means. Can you see that in your mother? Actually see it. She's passed away.
I guess I don't know what to make of the label. It just seemed to me, I mean, in retrospect, that because of the way she conducted herself and basically devoted her life to service to the family, it seems as though she must have worked on herself at some point. That's my impression.
Mm.
That's the closest I can come to saying yes to that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody online saying anything?
Rocky says, yes, absolutely. I feel she had some feelings of objective conscience. Tianjo says, my mother was deeply influenced by an aunt who was a Christian Scientist, from whom she learned that we create our own reality. She passed this on to both her children, for which I am grateful. Grocky says, Muscle Spark says, a woman I spoke with today said that during the birth of her son, when the experience was feeling somehow out of control, the midwife asked her to put her hand on her son's head as it emerged. She said that changed everything for her.
Yes, indeed.
My auntie Mary says, yes, my grandmother.
Okay. Cool.
And then before that, there were some other comments.
I don't think it's unusual that it's the grandmother, too.
No.
Rayla, you know, that could be that objective conscience, that sense of that.
Yeah. Hang on. Yeah, I would say my grandmother lived to be quite elderly in her 90s, and I think she had seen so much of life and of history that, yeah, I would say, you know, that she had, in some ways, she was very disappointed by life, and she used to talk to us about it, like, why are things the way they are? And she had lived through World War One and Two, you know. She saw a lot of carnage.
Yeah.
And she lost a lot of relatives in Europe, actually. I think that's a good description of her situation.
So read the first part of that paragraph again.
If we have also activated the higher emotional centrum, it is possible.
So if we,
have activated the higher emotional centrum, which this chapter says we can do with this exercise or spontaneous, it is possible to use aim exercise on a higher scale to give our mother or our grandmother the means to become a saint.
Does it make sense?
Oh, yes, it does.
They're dead.
No. You have to look at this thing as if it's outside of the timelines.
Wow.
We're not talking within the timelines.
Okay.
Because it's the third paragraph on page 123 of the chapter 14 says, when the machine's mother dies, it feels, perhaps for the very first time ever, although the source of attention may not be aware of it, the automatic arising of the emotion called remorse of conscience. This is something that is related to, but not from the machine.
There you go.
And it cannot be experienced related to the time of the machine. So you could only offer this kind of remorse of conscience exercise on behalf of your mother or your grandmother if it was not related to the machine. It could only be not related to the machine.
Only be, yes. Not related.
It could not be related to the machine.
So if we can live in that area, then we can do that last paragraph.
Yeah, we need to Xerox these three pages here and walk around with them stapled to our forehead for about 15 weeks. And
practical
maybe,
work on self.
Ay-yo.
Chapter 14, remorse of conscience, is a specific pragmatic methodology of developing this higher conscience that we can have and activate, and then where can we do something?
And activate the emotional centrum.
The higher emotional
centrum.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, David, I'd like to say also just to take note that for me, well, I'm relating it to this talk and the work of groups, and it's so this remorse of conscience is related to repairing the past.
Yeah.
And he's saying here in this other talk, it's also related to this idea of the practice of a seance.
Yeah.
Of but a seance, it's also working with that emotion, mm-hmm. because it's all, that seance, and this exercise here is all about help, about giving help,
mm-hmm.
being able to offer help,
mm-hmm. yeah.
To someone, but not in an ordinary way. It's not ordinary help. And then I just wanted to make note that the nugget at the end of this talk in volume 5 is that he says, this is also the key to the objective prayer, but he's not telling them how that works. The whole basis, G. later said that this was the whole basis for objective prayer, although we would have to discover for ourselves exactly in what way these were related. So I'm just saying, what I'm getting out of this is that remorse of conscience, repairing the past, and objective prayer are all somehow intertwined. Yeah, there's a link there.
But I want to get clear from Pat that you're saying that if I can achieve this kind of work, that my grandmother, who I didn't even go to her funeral, I was so caught up in myself, and my mother, who was also dead, that I can actually affect something?
So there's two places here where you have an entry point. One of them is in the biological sense that your machine's mother, and that's in the biological form, that configuration has connectivity directly to you, which you can activate through this exercise, activate the higher emotional centrum using this same exercise on behalf of providing help for your mother. And in the same way, your mother is, quote, her machine's mother is linked. So it has to do with taking yourself out of the personal picture, out of the subjective time picture, being in the moment of remorse of conscience, and not limiting the framework to the experience of the machine, but acknowledging the gift of those machines. So if it hadn't been for your grandmother, your mother would not have been born. So that's the linkage. You have to go that way, but you have to do it outside of your
machine
subjective personal, you know, biography.
But this is implying that I can give them the means by which they can become, I think.
It does say that, and I'm not going to say why. Well, because you need to know what the higher emotional centrum can provide. That would be the reason why it would be possible.
So when we think back on this, our mothers, whether they've passed or not, there's work that we can do, no matter where they are, that gives them the means to do something. If my mother had spent her life working on herself, I might not even be here.
That's right.
You know, she was busy taking care of the household,
exactly,
and the kids,
yep,
and the meals and my father. She put this aside in order to provide an environment which was rich in culture,
right,
that clearly influenced me.
It did more than sustain you.
More than
sustain
you. It enhanced me.
Yeah.
So she said, okay, I'm going to set that aside. And she had a great depth of, she would have been a deep seer, I think. She would have been a very deep seer in a sense. But she set that aside. That she made a system where my sisters and I had the fruits of that great culture.
Well, that sort of leads to another question, which is, those of us who have been living in community, who have provided less than that family experience, our children. Yeah.
That's a different conversation.
It is very much a different conversation.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go back a bit and read the comments. Glocky says, I can sense the remorse. Yes, there are a lot of things I wish I had done better. Auntie says, I didn't develop deep remorse in my relationship until I became a mother.
Curious.
Muscle Fox says, fried bologna. I can't remember what that is a reference to. Grocky says, yeah, what Ivan said about the unconditional support, and for myself, one sees it all the more after they have passed, so more remorse that I wasn't more aware of it. Dakoff says, I can feel remorse, but also know that at the time, with who we were, it could not have been, quote, better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't a good question. Yeah, it wasn't a good question.
Auntie Matter says, yes, my grandmother. Halka Mishra says, some feelings, definitely. Dagoth says, yes.
Okay.
Grossi says, in almost all ethnic cultures, there is a belief in and practices for actually contacting spirit of ancestors,
yeah,
often in the sense of having a duty to serve and honor them, to the degree that we are connected to them between the veils and that we turn our own lives into honoring her in everyone, then that honoring will be present in our connection with her. And create a kind of energetic aura around her in the quantum sense. and that aura is imbued with the saintly honoring way in which we are honoring her and everyone.
Okay.
And Akimatter says, from the Buddhist perspective, all beings have been our mother. And Panjo says, many scientists are now realizing that consciousness is a quantum, non-local process, mm-hmm. enabling humans to blend the past and the future into the present. And Alka says, be right back. I need to give my mother a hug right now.
Good
for you.
She's giving her mother a hug for all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alka. Silverdale, you there?
Yes, I am.
So how's your trip back east shaping up?
Hey, very well. I fly to Washington tomorrow. I'll be in Washington Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday I go up to Boston to spend spend Thanksgiving with my sons. I won't be here next Wednesday, but are we meeting next Wednesday? And I'll be home on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
I'm wondering if this conversation about mother is jogging anything for you as you anticipate your flight back east.
Well, you know, it really is. First of all, I'm grateful to my mother, as we all should be, for just giving us an opportunity to be alive, to have conceived us, to have born us, and then to have, to the best of her ability, provided us an opportunity to grow. And in that sense, we always feel indebted to our mother just for the gift of life all by itself. As we get older, I think we become more sympathetic to her circumstances. She was doing the best she could as a person within the context of the circumstances she was in, and, of course, her own strengths and weaknesses. And so remorse certainly arises out of a recognition that when I was a child, I behaved as a child. Now that I'm grown up and I appreciate what an adult's responsibility is, I'm grateful to my mother for doing as well as she could in bearing the cross of bearing me and providing for me. And all of that plays into my, you know, reflections on my trip to Washington tomorrow to see my mother. Listen, at 87, she's probably going to live another 15 years. But for all I know, this might be the last opportunity I have to see her. So I want to really make it a golden opportunity.
Well, I hope you have a fruitful voyage back east to see family. And we'll look forward to the next time we all get together. And thank everybody for this class. Kind of a different one tonight. It was a mother of a class.
It was a big mother.
Thank you very much.
I thought about it. Well, let's talk about it.
I'll be missing next week also.
Where are you going?
Out of town.
Out of town? What do you mean?
I'm going to visit George's mother.
We've got a bed made up for you.
Let's all go.
Your mother. I'd like to visit George's mother.
I don't know. Are we going to have a class next week? Or Pat, David, Paula, Marvette, Dan, Doc Goss?
You may still have a perfectly good attendance on the...
perfectly good attendance.
Next Wednesday. I mean, it's because some of us,
yeah. We'll keep coming, and you know what we'll do is we will honor all of you who are with your mothers next week when we meet. We will think about you and your mother, and you can think about all of our mothers, and we'll just have a little time next week on the... next chapter, whatever it's called. But, you know, I think this is an important question. How do you start approaching something like this? It's not a little thing. I mean, that chapter 14, practical work on self, is like, shoo, that's way up the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big one. Phone for Marvette, please.
Well, I have an entirely different view.
Okay.
I think that the chapter is more a way into a work method of remorse and using the whole idea of your mother and honoring your mother is trying to get your attention into that practice, which has nothing to do with your mother in actuality. It's just a way to get in there, and it's really kind of a distraction.
Well said.
Yeah.
I think both are true.
Thank you, Margaret. And thank everybody for coming this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing some of us next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Good night.
Good night.